The autumn of 1953, Washington was a city in the grip of a witch hunt. The careers of hundreds of civil servants had come to an abrupt end on the flimsiest of charges. No one, least of all the president, seemed willing to stand up to Senator Joseph McCarthy. On November 24, 1953, the Wisconsin senator gave a blistering speech, carried on both radio and television, in which he charged the Eisenhower administration with whining, whimpering appeasement. The next day, C.D. Jackson told the New York Times' James Reston that he thought McCarthy had declared war on the president. When Reston's column the next morning used the quote, attributing it to an unnamed White House official, Jackson was roundly criticized by an Eisenhower aide who said such talk would merely make it more difficult to get McCarthy and his allies to vote for the presidential program. Jackson was appalled at what he called disastrous appeasement in the face of McCarthy's attacks. All the vague feelings, he noted in his diary, of unhappiness I have had regarding lack of leadership over the past many months, which I have always put down, really bounced up this week, and I am very frightened. He told the president's chief of staff, Sherman Adams, that he hoped McCarthy's flagrant performance will at least serve to open the eyes of some of the president's advisers, who seem to think the senator is really a good fellow at heart. In this poisonous atmosphere, Defense Secretary Wilson phoned Eisenhower on December 2, 1953, and asked if he had seen J. Edgar Hoover's latest report on Dr. Oppenheimer. Ike said no. Wilson said that it was the worst one so far. Wilson said that Strauss had phoned him the previous night to say that McCarthy knows about it and might pull it on us. Eisenhower said that he wasn't going to worry about McCarthy, but the Oppenheimer case should be brought to the attention of Attorney General Herbert Brownell. He told Wilson they certainly will not assassinate Oppenheimer's character unless we can gain substantiating evidence. Wilson told Ike, erroneously, that both Oppenheimer's brother and wife are communists. This fact, plus his past relations, make him a bad risk if we have trouble with communists. After getting off the phone with Wilson, and before reading the document, Eisenhower noted in his diary that the new FBI report brings forward very grave charges, some of them new in character. The Attorney General would have to judge whether an indictment was warranted, but Ike noted, "I very much doubt that they will have this kind of evidence." But in the meantime, he was going to cut Oppenheimer off from all contacts with those in government. The sad fact is that if this charge is true, we have a man who has been right in the middle of our whole atomic development from the very earliest days. Dr. Oppenheimer was, of course, one of the men who has strongly urged the giving of more atomic information to the world. A suggestion, Eisenhower failed to note in his diary, of which he had approved. Early the next morning, Eisenhower met with his national security adviser, Robert Cutler, who advised him to take immediate action against Oppenheimer. At 10 o'clock that morning, Eisenhower called Strauss into the Oval Office and asked him if he had read the latest FBI report on Oppenheimer. Strauss, of course, had read the report, and the Borden letter that had prompted it. After a cursory discussion, the president directed that a complete bar be immediately erected between this individual, Oppenheimer, and any information of a sensitive or classified character. Later that day, Eisenhower noted in his diary that in the brief time he had to read over the so-called new charges, he had quickly realized that they consist of nothing more than the receipt of a letter from a man named Borden. He then correctly assessed its contents. This letter presents little new evidence. The president had been told, he confided, that the vast bulk of this information had been constantly reviewed and re-examined over a number of years, and that the overall conclusion has always been that there is no evidence that implies disloyalty on the part of Dr. Oppenheimer. However, this does not mean that he might not be a security risk. Eisenhower understood that Oppenheimer might well be the victim of scurrilous charges. But having ordered an investigation, he was not about to stop the process. Such a move would leave him vulnerable to a charge from McCarthy that the White House was shielding a potential security risk. So, the president sent a formal note to the Attorney General, ordering him to place a blank wall between Oppenheimer and classified material.